Last week, I delivered two webinars, Win That Sales Pitch, two of my 25-minute January-February webinars. On the same day, one early in the morning over here in the UK, one later on in the afternoon. And it got me thinking because one of the questions that came up, someone asked me about how to effectively close out the sales pitch. And then the next day, I also got an email from a former client who'd been involved in the webinar asking me to do with some work with one of their members of their team. And they used the word closing as well. And I suddenly thought, is closing the right word? Welcome, everybody. My name is Trevor Lee. This is the Better Presentations, More Sales podcast. And we are episode number 292. So if you're new to the podcast, then, well, you've got a bit of catching up to do. But what I would suggest is start at this one and work backwards rather than, as someone recently told me, they'd started at number one. My goodness, that was nearly 6 years ago. It'll be decades before they catch up. So now, if you do like the show, then please leave a review or rate it via your podcast app. That would be amazing. Now, I did mention that I was doing this webinar last week called Win More Sales Pitches. Well, next week, February the 6th, Tuesday, February the 6th, is the third of my four for the January-February month. And that's five tips to transform your business presentation. So no matter how experienced you are at presenting, if you want to pick up one or two tips, maybe even all five, that will be of benefit to you, then go to the website trevorjlee.com. On the top bar, there's the webinar page. I'll put it in the show notes as well, and you can click on and book your seat. It's free, and there'll be one at 9:30 a.m. GMT, and for those of you in a different part of the world, one at 4:30 p.m. GMT. And then the following week, it's five quick sales wins, which is always a hugely popular one because that relates to any business, really, and it's just a reminder of those little things that sometimes make a difference that we overlook when we're trying to create some wins. So back to today's topic, because this episode is called Closing That Sales Pitch. And I use that term because it's a term that we're all familiar with. But the question I'm going to ask is, you know, based on what someone mentioned to me during the webinar last week, is closing actually the right term? Because, you know, when you think about it, where else do we see the word closing? Closing down, for example. You know, close that off. You know, it's as though it's a end of something, isn't it? Rather than, ideally, if you close that sales pitch, it's the beginning of a relationship with that customer, hopefully. You've got that piece of work and hopefully it will turn into, you know, long-term work. So have we got it all the wrong way around? Should we be talking about opening that sales pitch or opening that relationship through a sales pitch rather than using the word closing? And, you know, any of you listening to this who've ever been on a sales course of any sort, you probably come across that famous term ABC, always be closing, which can drive some people completely mad because we've kind of moved away from that, haven't we? So I just wonder, you know, and it doesn't sound great, does it, opening that sales pitch? Because, again, if you go back to your sales training, all you think about is opening the opening is the first bit of your pitch or your presentation. It's not the opening of the relationship long-term, hopefully, with that customer, which is what you're trying to achieve. So the question is, do we need to think about changing the terminology? And if we're talking about closing the sales pitch or closing that sales pitch, is it actually your job to do that? Or is it the customer's job to do that? And that's using the traditional term of closing, which means that the sales pitch, whatever you're trying to do, is agreed. And that you've got a piece of work and then you're closing but opening that new relationship. So, you know, what do you think? Do you think that's the right way around maybe? Maybe we should be thinking about that. I'm not sure. But anyway, so what I thought I'd do in this podcast is I'd share five little things that came out of Win More Sales Pitches last week, which will help you close that sales pitch, start that new relationship, open up that new stream of revenue for you. So what are those five things? Well, the first one, which was came out quite a bit in the discussion we had at the end of one of the webinars, and that is you really need to make sure that when you're doing your pitch, you focus on the people you're pitching to, whether that's one person or group of people or whatever it is, you know, particularly if you are pitching for effectively new business, to win new business or win a tender even, but particularly win new business. And that new business, of course, might be from an existing client as well. So the thing is, you know, if you focus your pitch, that means you've got to do your homework. You've got to find out about the company more than they know about the company, almost. Well, obviously not quite, but you know what I mean. And you need to then link what you know about the company and the news stories that they've had recently and all that sort of stuff to what you're going to deliver in your pitch. And, of course, make sure you know why you're there in the first place. You know, we get very excited, don't we, when someone says, hey, why don't you come along? You know, we were inviting two or three people to do a pitch, so why don't you come along? And then they tell you how long it's going to be and where it should be and on what day. But do they really tell you the ins and outs of why they want you to pitch? What the problem is that they hope someone like you will solve? Because if they don't, find that out. Really narrow that down. Get that detail. Because that will make a big, big, you know, difference for you. Whenever anybody asks me, you know, to say, Trevor, would you like to put together a proposal to do some sales training for our team? And I go, yeah, absolutely. But why do you think you need sales training? Is my first question. You know, why are you even thinking about you need someone like me? I'm very happy to put a proposal together, but I need to understand why it is you think you need sales training. And that really, you know, focuses the mind. Because sometimes, you know, people do sales training to almost tick a box. You know, hey, we had a sales training day. Everybody must be brilliant, you know, going forward and all that sort of stuff. So make sure that you've done all your homework, you've got your research, and your pitch very much focuses on that customer. Number two of the five little things I'm going to share with you today is ensure that there are no complexities in your pitch. Nothing in there that people will think, oh, what does that mean? A bit of jargon, an acronym, whatever it might be, because that will put them off potentially. It'll certainly distract them. Okay, so you need to put your pitch together in terms that you are absolutely sure your audience will understand. So it's their terms. It's not kind of your terms. And it's worth a sense check on that as well. Just maybe run it past somebody. Run your pitch past somebody who, and say, look, if you were them, is there anything in here that would, you know, confuse them? I get, you know, I find myself doing that all the time when people, you know, bring me in via Zoom for a 50-minute call, you know, just to talk about their sales pitch and to challenge it. And I say, right, I am your, you know, your audience. I'm your potential buyer, you know, so you've got to pitch it to me. And then they do the pitch and I say, well, to be honest, on slide two, you put some stuff up there. I have no idea what you were talking about. And so for the rest of the pitch, I was trying to work out whether I should know that, whether I should, am I that stupid? Should I understand this? And that kind of put me off. So that's always a good thing to do. Right, number three is make sure that it, you know, your offer, which presumably you will put on the table during your pitch, is crystal clear. So that means knowing exactly what you're going to deliver and when you propose to deliver it and the level of investment the buyer, the buying company, have to make to get your offer. And that's really important as well. And I use the word investment there. And I think investment is a good word to use in a pitch. Because then you can say to the client, you will, you know, your investment in achieving X, Y, and Z, which is, you know, the benefits they're going to get from whatever it is you're offering, is, and then you can reel it off. And you can also say also includes, and it includes, and then you come to the figure. But if you say the fee for this is, or the rate for this is, or the cost of this is, or the price of this is, then that feels a bit like more like you're talking about you in your language rather than theirs. Because price, rate, fee, cost, they kind of drum up things of thinking, wow, can I afford that? Do I really need to do that? Whereas investment, I think, has a different psychological term. Interested to know what you think on that, but have a go at it. See what you think. And just check your language and see what's ones you're using. And if you're not using the word investment, try it. See what happens. Right, number four is you've got to be ready to negotiate. Now, not all pitches will result in an immediate negotiation. But if you get a better chance to get a yes to the deal by being ready to negotiate at the time, then great. Because we all know that, you know, business decisions are all about momentum. And when you're delivering your pitch and you've worked it out and you're delivering it for the person or persons on the other side of the table, so to speak, and they're very excited because they realize you've done your research, you know about them, you've come up with some great benefits, you've got a lot of momentum. And then if they say, well, I think, you know, we need to negotiate on this a bit, and you say, okay, well, come back to me and tell me what you want, you know, what that offer is maybe, or what you want to negotiate on. That will lose momentum because, you know, when are you going to get together again? Who knows? Who knows? And sometimes it never happens. So you've got to make the most of the opportunity while you're there at the time, whether you're delivering this pitch in person or you're delivering it virtually. So be ready to negotiate. And what I mean by that is simply have worked out your negotiation plan in advance. And so many people neglect to do this. They think, oh, well, I might. And you know, they're sat there and everybody goes, hey, this is a really great idea, Trevor. We love it. We love it. But if we could get it for 10% less, then, you know, it's a real goer. And you're thinking, oh, I didn't see that coming. And then you're trying to work out what 10% is and all that sort of stuff. And of course, one of the things when you are negotiating, don't ever forget that there's more to negotiating than money. Time scale, support, training, all sorts of things you can find that you can lob into the mix as a negotiation to get effectively the deal over the line, you know, to close that sales pitch, if that's the terminology we're still using. But you're going to be more successful in negotiations if you've done your homework. And I've got a little grid that I use with clients that I picked up from somebody else a long, long time ago, where you write down all the things that you could offer and you write down all the things that you expect the potential client to ask for. And then you kind of work out where they all fit together on your negotiating plan. What would you be prepared to do? What would you be prepared to accept, to offer, to ensure that this goes ahead, this start of this relationship? And of course, as we said, you know, in the preamble to these top five tips, is that you are trying to put yourself in a position where you're making sure it's not you that's closing the deal, it's the person that you are pitching to. They're the ones who want to say yes. They want the power to decide your fate. So they want to say yes to you. So sit down, work out your negotiation plan, and as part of that plan, put yourself in the shoes of the people who you are pitching to. If you were them, what would you be asking for? Would you just go, yeah, that's a great offer, let's go, let's do it? Or would you want to negotiate? Probably want to negotiate, wouldn't you? That's how business works sometimes. But the people who get the best results from their pitches are the ones who've done their preparation. They know they're expecting a negotiation and they've worked out what they're going to negotiate on. Right, and the final one is be ready for the Q&A. Okay, now this may sound a bit, you know, well, of course I'm going to be ready for the Q&A, but are you? Have you thought about the kind of questions you might get asked? Have you thought about the rhetorical questions that you might ask if no one asks you a question at the Q&A bit? And have you thought about remembering that don't answer the first question for too long? Otherwise, you might eat into time for better questions. So there we go. So that all came out of last week's webinars, which was the Win More Sales Pitch one. So thank you very much to everybody who came on that and who contributed, who chipped into the comments and the questions, which inspired this episode of the Better Presentations, More Sales podcast. So let me just quickly run through those five again. So focus on the pitch, on them, your audience, not you. Ensure that there's no complexities in it. Nothing that will make me think, oh, I don't understand that. Make sure your offer is crystal clear. Talk about investment, not rate, price, fee, whatever. And be ready to negotiate. Have that negotiation plan. So you've rehearsed it. You know what's coming. You've tried to second guess what might be happening. And be ready for the Q&A as well. And at the end of the Q&A, make sure you've got a plan for what happens next. And that means getting the calendars out, booking in the call, okay? Not just saying, oh, I'll drop you an email and then waiting for a reply, all that nonsense, all right? Get the calendars out, get something nailed in for when you're going to make that call and follow it up. Okay, so good luck with your pitches. If you need any help with a particular pitch, you want someone to challenge you, then get in touch. If you go to my website, trevorjlee.com, or the show notes, there'll be a link to a 15-minute Zoom call. You can tell me all about what you want from the pitch, and then we can agree that, you know, we can go and do a 50-minute call. Or you can go straight onto my website and book the 50-minute call now. They are a huge amount of money. They're £87 plus VAT, because I love doing them. Okay, so just think about that. Will that investment make a difference? What if you win that pitch on the back of that short, small investment? Time and money. So there we go. I look forward to that. Right, thanks very much. If you like the show, please leave a review. Got some great guests lined up for the future. So I'll look forward to recording with them. And thank you very much for listening. I'll see you next time.